For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, December the 30th, 2002. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas is the minister on...
Come, Lord Jesus. Well, we just asked that you'd open our hearts, Lord God. Only you can open and touch the human heart. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive the word, Lord, as we read and speak your word, Lord. Make it life to us. For the words, they are spirit, they are life, Lord. You make them spirit and life to us, Lord, that we might perceive them in the spirit and we can worship you in the spirit and truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, y'all can sit down. I want to talk to you about how to keep your deliverance. We've talked about the devil. And you know, the devil's name is Satan or Diabolos. Satan means resister. Diabolos means slanderer. And that's what he's doing. He's resisting you from following God. He's always out there, has his minions out there resisting you. And he's a slanderer. He's slandering you before God right now, accusing you day and night. He's also slandering other people to you, whispering things in your ear about other people. And he's slandering you to other people and whispering suggestions into your ear of things that you should do that are not right. And sending temptation into your life to draw you away into sin. And he doesn't ever get tired. It's always there. But you have another enemy. Charlie Brown said, we have met the enemy and he is us. It's me, myself, and I. Now there is an Antichrist spirit coming. But John says back here in, let's look at 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is already in the world. It's already in the world. Now we know that there is an Antichrist coming, the man of perdition that will be manifested in the last days. But there's another Antichrist that sits in the holy place now. He is the abomination of desolation that sits in the holy place. Where is the holy place? In your heart. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. It's the holy place. Before Jesus Christ, it was between the cherubim over the mercy seat. That was a piece of real estate that he occupied. But now he dwells in the hearts of men. That was a secret that was hid from time immemorial that so many of the prophets wish to know. Christ in you. Christ. That's the Christus, the anointing. In you, the hope of glory. But the spirit of self is in there too. Me, myself, and I. And that is the spirit that wishes to substitute himself instead of God. And that is the spirit that you see rising up in all of these churches that name it and claim it and grab it and glab it and say you're a son of God and you're a child of God and you're a king's kid and you deserve all this and you just claim it and the power of God will give it to you. God is, if you follow the seven steps of answered prayer, God is obligated to give it to you. You all ever heard that? Almighty God is obligated to you. Excuse me. But that is the spirit of self. I deserve it. Oh, me, I didn't get it. I've been just picked on. They didn't treat me fair. That's the spirit of self. Me, myself, and I. And so what does Jesus say about that? He addresses this spirit of self in Scripture. And he says, and the first spirit that he addressed was self-pity. And let's look at Matthew 16. Now, to look at these, you need to read the Scripture in context. And so when you read in context, you read several before and several after. Let's look at Matthew 16. And here we will find a verse that's very familiar with you. It starts up on verse 14. In verse 13, Jesus came in the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who the men say that I the Son of Man, am? And some said John the Baptist, and some said Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, but who you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now that's the context. And then he commanded his disciple to tell no one that he was the Christ. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. And he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his suke. Now what did I tell you suke meant? Soul. Okay. Anyone who desires to save his suke will lose it, but whoever loses his suke for my sake will find it. But what profit is it to a man that he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or for what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now we find here Peter is. Jesus is telling the men that he must go and suffer and die. And Peter rebukes him, saying, no, Lord, take pity on yourself. That's not going to happen to you. You're not going to suffer and die like that. And he says, get behind me, Satan, because I have to lose myself, my own soul, to save it. I've got to do the will of him who sent me. For if I lose it, then I'll gain it back. And so the first thing that he says you've got to deny is self-pity. You've got to deny. When you get to feeling sorry for yourself, you're in the devil's trap. You get to feeling sorry. If you fall into sin, what you need to do is repent and turn and walk away from it. Not sit there and feel sorry for yourself because you got trapped. You need to repent of your sin and say, oh, God, give me strength. Thank you, Lord. Give me the strength of repentance. Give me the spirit of repentance of, that I can walk away from this in your strength because I can't do it by myself. And walk away and say, Satan, I hate you. Amen. That's the only thing you're allowed to hate is Satan and his works. I hate you, Satan. And I'm going to center in and I'm going to do God's will. And I'm not going to look back and be sorry. That's the first thing. Now, if things don't go like you think they should go, you've stepped out. And what you thought was following God, and it turned out not to be, and you fell flat on your face. You don't sit there and feel sorry for yourself. You get up, you say, oh, God, I missed it, Lord. Forgive me. And you repent of that as sin. And you say, Lord, show me and move back in. That's the first thing, is you move away from self-pity. Well, you want other dates? Look at Mark 9, 31 to 37, and Luke 9, 21 to 26. Now, in Luke 9, 21 to 26, let's look at that. Because that's an interesting thing there, Luke 9. You'll find it's the same, it is the same context. Verse 22 says, For the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and killed and be raised on his third day. Then he says to them, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his suke will lose it, and whosoever loses his suke for my sake will save it. For what profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You know, God said that your soul is more valuable than the whole world. One soul is more valuable than everything out there in the world to God. That's the value he places on a human soul. And this is a daily process. It's not something you do today and move on. You do it every day. He says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Well, okay, so you deny self-pity. What's the second thing you deny? Let's look at Luke. Let's go over to Luke 14. And look at 14, 16 to 27. Now, 16 says, There was a certain man who gave a great supper and invited many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to those who invited, Come, for all things are now ready. But they made one excuse. They in one accord to begin to make excuses. First he said, I bought a piece of ground. I must go see it. And I asked to be excused. And another said, I bought five yoke of oxen. And I'm going to test them. And I asked to be excused. And still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. The servant came and reported these things to his master, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in the poor, the maimed, the blind. And the servant said, Master, it's so done. As you command, there's still room. And he said, Go in to the servant, go into the highways and the hedges, and compel him to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say, he says, none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Now the great multitudes went with him. He turned to them and said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, his own soul, he cannot be my disciple. For whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You say, well, what is that? What is the first part? The first part is the context. All of those people refused to come because they had perfectly legal excuses under the law. Under the law, they all had perfectly legal excuses. That was their natural affection to follow. And then he emphasizes it even more. He said, those people refused to come to the cross because they had things that they wanted to do in their lives. And then he emphasized and said, if you don't hate, that word hate means love more than me. If you don't, he said, if you don't hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be to my disciple. You can't put those things before God. God says you've got to deny your natural affections. When your natural affections come before the will of God, you must deny them. Matthew 10, 35 to 40. He says, I have come to set or alienate a man from his father, a daughter against a mother, a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. For he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life, his soul will lose it. And he who loses his soul for my sake will find it. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. There he says that you've got to put him before your natural affections. Obedience to his word before your natural affections. And you've got to look out at him and move out daily. Well, let's look now at Luke 17. And this one I think you will find harder than all the rest. Luke 17, let's look at verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Y'all remember Lot's wife? What was Lot's wife doing? Remember this about Lot. Lot was a real wealthy man. He and Abraham had so many possessions they had to separate because there just wasn't enough pasture to feed all the animals. And Lot pitched and went down towards Sodom. And you can gather from the scriptures that Brother Lot moved into Sodom. He sold some of those possessions and bought himself a nice big house. And he was such a rich man, they made him an elder in the city. But they really sort of resented him. And they had this nice big house there, and the angels came and said, you're going to have to leave. And they took them by the arm, and they pulled them out of that house. And they said, don't look back. And when they got to the top of the hill, Sister Lot, all she did was just look back at her nice house with all her nice things in it, and the fire and the sulfur was coming down on it. And she didn't turn to go back and get any of them, you see. All she did was just look back. The angel had her by one hand pulling her, and she looked back like this. And she became a pillar of salt. And what does God say there? He says, remember Lot's wife. Now remember, whosoever seeks to save his soul will lose it, and whoever seeks who loses his soul will preserve it. Well, praise you, Lord. How are you supposed to act when you're losing your possessions? Well, and Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Let's look back at Matthew chapter 5 now. Verse 41. Verse 39. I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your coat, your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Now you can go back to Deuteronomy. If you want to see how he really, how the law felt about that, let's go back to Deuteronomy 9. See the 8 or 9, Lord. I got the wrong Bible. I got a new Bible here. My Bible with the evil thing marked in it, I lost. You know, I lost that Bible for a year. And then one day I was coming out of the laundry last week. And I came out and my car was locked. And I unlocked the door and looked in. That Bible was sitting on the back seat. I lost a year ago. And thank God was telling me that I didn't have to have that to be able to teach. I thought if I ever lost it, I'd never be able to teach because it had all my notes in it. Irma used to say we wore a brain out asking her who people were. Now, I don't know where it says it now. Let's go on. But it says in there that if there be a poor brother among you. And, Okay. If there be a poor brother among you, and he has need, and he comes and asks, and you say the year of release is near, and your eye be evil towards your brother, and you shut your hand, and you give him nothing, and he cries out to God, God will consider it sin to you. But you shall open your hand freely and give of your brother what he needs. And so here it is again. In Matthew, well, is there any evidence that folks ever did that? Well, let's look over at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:34. Start with verse 32. But you recall the former days in which you were illuminated. You endured great struggle with sufferings, partly because you were made a spectacle, both by the reproaches and tribulations, and partly because you became companions for those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for you in heaven. Now you get the picture there. You're standing there with somebody in jail who's in chains, and you're watching them go into your house and take out your possessions, and you're saying, oh, look, honey, she got our washing machine. That's wonderful. I hope it washes good for her. Look, she's taking our mattress. I hope she sleeps well on it. Oh, look, they've got our clothes. You know, I hope they fit. That's what it says they were doing. Joyfully accepted. God says, don't get tied up with things, people. Things will trip you up. Things will drag you down. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And it will drag you into bondage and open you to demonic. Paul says, if you've got clothes on your back, food to eat, and shelter over your head, what more do you want? Because there ain't no U-Haul it following a hearse. He said, naked you came to this world, and naked you're going to leave. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And so, you have to realize it. So you have self-pity, natural affections, and love of the world. A love of profession, possessions. And the third is John 12. And in this, John just reiterates it. And he says, John 12:24. Most assuredly, I say to you that unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it. He who loves his soul, a suke, will lose it. He who hates his suke in this world will keep it for eternal zoe. There are three types of life mentioned in the New Testament. Bio, which is natural life, from which we get biology. Suke, which is the Greek word for soul. I told you the Latin word was psyche, from which we get psychologists and psychiatrists. But the Greek is suke. And the last is zoe, from which we get zoology, but it is used in the New Testament exclusively for God-given life. For the life, he said, my words, they are spirit and they are zoe. Anytime Jesus referred to life of himself, he said zoe, for eternal zoe. People will say that eternal zoe is God-given life. No, but all when zoe is used in the New Testament, it almost always speaks of God-given life, of a life that God gives you to move forward in his life, in the life that he gives you to fulfill, not the self-centered, soulish life. Well, let's look at John. What did Jesus say? Let's look first at John chapter 5:19. Most assuredly, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, whatever he does, the Father does likewise. And the companion verse to that is in Philippians 2:7 when he says he emptied himself out or gave up all of his heavenly privileges. Jesus said, I can't do anything except what the Father says do. Now look at John 5:30. I of myself can do nothing. As I heard, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now let's look at John 7:17. And John 6:38 says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And John says, and he says in 7:17, if anyone wills to do his own will, if anyone wills to do God's will, his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He wants you to will to do his will. To will to do his will. Now let's look at Philippians 2:13. Now I want you to get this verse. 2:13. Starting with verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will to do his good pleasure. Verse 13 said, it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, the New Living Translation said, it is God who works into you to give you the desire to please him and the power to do his will. It's God that's working in you. And so you need to pray, God, I am willing. Lord, give me the power to be willing to do your will. God, you help me will to do your will. I'm willing, Lord. I want to. Help me. Give me the power, the strength, because I can't do it by myself. Now, let's look at 1 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Verse 13, because of this, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that's brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, his will, his power to do his will is a grace gift from God. It's freely given. Verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit, in sincere love for the brethren, and love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now, chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babies, well, verse 1 says, therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. You know to do those things. That's legalism. But it says, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you taste it that the Lord is gracious. As you read the word, you will grow. Just like a baby grows when he gets his mother's milk. You want to grow?
Yes.
Read the Word. You say, well, I've already read it. That's wonderful.
Yes.
You should read the Bible through at least once a year, preferably 3 or 4 times. That's not hard to do. It just takes persistence. 3.5 chapters a day will get you through it once. That's about 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes. Spend that much time watching the weather. Okay? God's been on the phone. Paul said to you, let's look at chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners or pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust that war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, the heathen, that when they speak of you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And you go on. All of that is good. But the main thing is, I want you to know that the flesh wars against the soul. Sin rests in your flesh, and it wars against your soul. And it wants you to think of yourself first. It wants you to put your desires, and it will, how'd they say it now? What the flesh desires and the soul wills, the mind, the will wills, the mind or the intellect will justify or will rationalize. And when you do that, James says sin is conceived. And as it is conceived or impregnated, and as it grows, as the sin grows, then it gives birth to sin, which brings death. And so the thing is that you reject it immediately. For if you let it in, it's like having a baby in you. It will impregnate and glow very silently and very quietly, and then it just gets a little uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden you're in labor with it, and it's going to come out. Any woman will tell you once labor starts, it's going to come out. And it's going to give birth to sin and death in that area with a lot of pain. And so that lustly flesh that wars against your soul, you have to deny. Deny self-pity. Deny your natural affections when they come between you and God. And deny the world, the love of the world, the love of possessions. Now, we all got to have a house to live in. We all got to have clothes. We all got to have food. It's a matter of degree. It's a matter of degree. And putting those things before God. So how do you keep your deliverance? How do you do this? First, you have a quiet time. Now, what do you do with a quiet time? Do you sit down and clear your mind and wait for something to come? No, you don't have a passive mind. You can sit quietly and you can pray in tongues very quietly. Or you can praise God very quietly and be open. Quietly keep your mind centered in on God and wait. And you can read the Word. I have several systems, cards, and each day it gives me so many verses to read. 3.5 chapters a day will get you through the Bible one time. And as a matter of discipline, I have a Bible I have nothing written in. And I have a notebook on the side of it. And if I'm reading a verse and God says something to me about that verse, I date it, I write it down. And I write what God has said about that verse to me, what it means. And every day I'll read and I'll write and I'll pray and I'll sit for an hour to see what God wants to say to me that day. And very frequently, He will give me guidance for the day. I can look back and see that what I have read has been implicated in the situations I have been raised up that day. That He will quicken certain portions of that scripture to me. I generally read two chapters in the Old Testament, one chapter in the New Testament, and the Psalms and the Proverbs every day. You read one chapter of the Proverbs every day, you'll get through it once a month. But you need to write it down and think about it. And go back over it sometime, read it. And then you write down your prayers, and you date them. And you keep praying. And then when He answers them, you check it off. In 6 months, you go back and see how many prayers He's answered. I used to, when I had patients come into the office, I used to discern evil spirits in children, and I'd write their first name down and what I discerned, and I'd put it on my prayer book, and I would pray for those kids every night. I'd sit there for an hour praying for John, Joe, Jim, Joe, and binding all these demons I'd seen. I had a chart maybe 100, 150 names long. And then when I would see them back, I could see a difference in them. I would check them off. I don't see that many kids with demons anymore. I think they're going to somebody else. I don't see as many patients as I used to, but I don't see the kids that I used to see, the screaming, yelling, fighting kids that I used to see. I don't know. Used to see these kids with all these spirits on them, and God would deliver them and change them. I remember once I had this kid who was fighting, and I was holding him by his leg, and he was screaming and kicking, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. And a noticeable change occurred in that child. I never forget, son. And he was different from then on. His mother said, I don't know what you did to him. I said, I didn't do anything. The Holy Spirit did it. Didn't you hear me praying for him? She said, yeah, I heard you praying for him, but what'd you do? I said, God touched him. She said, he sure did, because he's a different child. And I didn't tell that mother that I bound a demon in him, because she wouldn't have understood. But I said, Jesus Christ touched your child, and she agreed with that. And those people started going to church. They're good church-going members now. And they follow Jesus. They all saved. Then they follow Jesus. Because of that. Because that was the thing that turned them to God. And so you have prayer. You have a regular Bible reading. You keep a journal. Record your prayers. Then you avoid temptation. You know, if you've had a problem with pornography, you don't get on the internet to see what kind of trash they're offering now. Or you don't go over to and look at the Playboys to see what kind of trash they put in it. Say, yeah, you ain't got no more authority over me. And I've seen people do this, and of course they go back into bondage. You avoid, you stay away from it. You have a problem with drinking, you stay out of bars. Unless God explicitly tells you to go back. He won't tell you to go back in there for a number of years, I'll tell you that. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company. You know, I used to have breakfast at the hospital, and I ate and witnessed to the maintenance crew. And we got joined by this man who had the foulest mouth I have ever heard. I mean, he, every other word was four-letter profanity. I couldn't even, to an all-male audience, I couldn't tell you what that man said. It embarrassed me so bad. And I said, looked at him, and I said, John, please don't talk like that. That bothers me. And he just ignored me. I said, about the third time he looked at me and said, Doc, this way I talk, you don't like it, get up and leave. Said, everybody else enjoys these jokes. And you know what I did? I got up and moved. And they sat there and they laughed at his dirty jokes. And I ate alone. Finally, one of the men came over and sat with me. He said, I can't see you sitting over here by yourself. I said, I'm sorry, that's fine, but I appreciate you coming over, but I can't. I said, that is ungodly and terrible. He said, yeah, I guess it is. He said, I really shouldn't be sitting over there. I said, well, if you sit over there, it will corrupt you. And you'll be talking like that. That kind of talk will come into you. He said, yeah, my wife told me that my time, that, I said, well, you want to get rid of it? And so I laid hands on him and prayed and said, God, remove all this bad talk from my brother in the name of Jesus. And he got strangled on some mucus, you know. I said, you get strangled? Yeah, oh, God, I got something in my throat. I said, gone now. I said, praise God. I said, I think that thing left you. Questioned anymore. He just, and we ate together for several years. But the other three men, they sat over there and they told these, and you could hear them laughing. And I think that the old boy talked real loud, so he thought maybe I could hear him. Now we moved over a couple more tables. And so you stay away from evil company. Now, you know, there's sometimes you get assigned to a work crew with somebody like that. And you're not the boss, and you can't change the work crew. And so what you do is you just start praying for them and then hold it up to God, and God will move. You say, God, you know, you need to touch this situation so that I don't have to hear this and be corrupted. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about your deliverance. Deliverance is not an event in your life. It's a walk. We can break the curses and we can cast the evil spirits out of you, but you have to keep them out. They walk behind you and they want to get back in. And they will jump back into you at the first opportunity and bring in some that's worse than the ones you got rid of. And they are assigned to you. I once saw a young man who had a lust problem. and I cast the lust out of him. And God opened my eyes. He walked out the door, and there were about 10 demons. I saw the lust demon leave, and there were 10 just like that, just following him. I said, what in the world? And God made me see that those demons had been assigned to that man, and they just walked behind him, waiting on an opportunity to jump in. And they were whispering his ear. If he bound one of them, the angels were tied up and carried off, and another one would just step right up like nothing had happened and keep right on going. Now, the devil's only got so many demons. He has a finite number. He doesn't have an infinite number. If he loses 50 troops in a battle or 75, he'll quit. He'll stop that one, and he'll run his mouse around a computer screen and say, oh, look at him. This worked against her grandmother. We'll try that one. And so he will come back. Remember when he said he, with Jesus, he said he left him to wait a more opportune time. Now, if he waited a more opportune time with Jesus, you can bet he's waiting for a more opportune time with you. And so, if you sin, don't let the sun go down on it. Things in the spirit world are done on a 24-hour basis, I believe. So give us this day our daily bread. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. You get angry, repent. Go ask forgiveness and repent and turn away from it. He says, when you walk into the judge with your adversary, and it says, make peace with your adversary. Because when you get to the judge, he may turn you to the judge, you're going to pay the last penny. That means if you are angry with somebody, he's been talking about anger when he said that. He said, you make peace, whatever it takes. Make peace. Now, sometimes you can't make peace. But as much as it depends on you, make peace. I told the story about the man that I served on the committee with, and I came against him. And he got very angry about it. And he had a heart attack, and I went to his bed and prayed for him. He had one knee replaced. He had another knee replaced. Had a hip replaced. Had all the bones in his hands replaced. And I went to his bedside, and I prayed for him, and I prayed for him, and I prayed for him. And God touched him each time. And we were sitting there talking, you know, and somehow that came up, and a veil came down on him. His eyes got set. His jaw got set. And he looked at me and he says, I hadn't got you for that, but I'm going to get you yet. I thought, my Lord, now there is a sick man. And I wondered why he had all this arthritis and all this high blood pressure and all these problems. He's a sick man because he will not forgive. So I say to you, something happens, settle it before the sun goes down. As much as it depends on you, turn away from sin. Walk with Jesus. Stay under the wing. Remember I talked to you about the wing? Said rebellious children who make their own plans, but not of my spirit? Stay under the wing, because that's protection under the wing. You get out from under the wing, you're under a spider's web, and the devil can hit you. Praise the Lord. Well, let's all stand up a little bit. I've talked about 30 minutes longer than I intended to. But some people asked me if we would have an impartation service and would pray for people to receive. And I said yes. I asked Sister Coffee to come up here. Chris, would you come up here and help me, please? Don't run off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on up, Sister Coffee. Well, Glenn, would you direct traffic?
What?
Would you direct traffic, please? Okay. Let's pray. Lord Jesus. Lord, Lord, you know all things, Lord. You know everyone's need, Lord. We ask, Lord, for your anointing to come down now and to touch your people and to meet each person's need. You meet them where they are, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Those who want to be prayed for can come down. Okay. Praise your Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, what do you want, brother?
I just want the Lord to prepare me to do His will. No fear, no distractions, purely internally His will.
Lord Jesus, touch my brother.
Thank you.
Release the grace of God into his life now in the name of Jesus. That you would, Lord, that you would just let your grace flow into my brother now in the name of Jesus. Let your grace flow. Now release into him now the discernment of spirits, Lord God. Stir up the gifts within him, Lord. Stir up the gifts within him, Lord God, and let your discernment flow into him now. In the name of Jesus, by your grace, Lord, by your grace, we just thank you and praise and bless and glorify you, Lord. Release the spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the name of Jesus. Eyes of his understanding will be open. He'll behold you in your glory, Lord, and what you have for him now. Just touch him now, Lord, as he goes forth in Jesus' name. You got it, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, ma'am. What do you want God to do for you, ma'am?
I want to walk in
the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Touch your Lord. Let your Spirit flow through now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Just let your Spirit flow through, Lord. More of your Spirit, Lord. Just let flow into it now, Lord. I release into her the discerning spirits now, in the name of Jesus. Let your Spirit flow into her, Lord, that she can discern between the good and the bad, between the bitter and the sweet, and the light and the dark. In the name of Jesus, Lord, just touch her. The Spirit flow into her now, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I release into her the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and counsel, might and fear of the Lord. They will touch her, Lord God. In Jesus' name, just let flow into her now, Lord Jesus. Flow her. Just flow into her. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. More of the Spirit now, Lord God. Touch her now. Let the spirit of joy flow into her. In the name of Jesus, that the joy of the Lord will be her strength. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You got it, sister. What do you want God to do for you, brother?
I have a hernia been trying to develop.
Put your hand in it. Okay. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we curse this hernia in the name of Jesus Christ. We curse the weakness in this in the name of Jesus. We speak strength to it. Strength and healing, Lord. Touch my brother, Lord. Let it flow into him now. Hernia, I speak to you. I say you line up with the Word of God. The Word of God says my brother's been healed. I speak healing to him now. In Jesus' name, Lord. And touch him now, Lord God. With strength, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your grace and your strength and your love flow into him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you for my brother, Lord. Thank you for him, Lord. Thank you for him, Lord God. Just bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. What do you want, brother? What do you want Jesus to do for you?
Just to help.
Touch my brother, Lord. Release into him now, Lord. Just release into him now, Lord. Just release into him, Lord. Discerning of spirits, Lord. The gift of the discerning of spirits, Lord. Let's stir up the gifts within him, Lord. Let your gifts flow into him now. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel, might, knowledge and fear the Lord. We bind any spirits of witchcraft now in the name of Jesus. Any spirits of control in the name of Jesus. Go out. All the spirits of control in the name of Jesus Christ. And release into him, Lord, your spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Discerning the spirit, Lord, that he can tell the difference between the bitter and the sweet, the light and the dark, the good and the evil. And flow into him, Lord God. More of your spirit, Lord God. More of your spirit, Lord. Touch him, Lord. Touch him. Touch him, Lord.
Oh, yeah, Lord.
Touch him, Lord God. Blow into him, my Lord. In Jesus' name, open his eyes so he can behold you in your glory, Lord. Lord, just release into him now prophetic vision, Lord. Let the prophetic flow into him now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That you have he will know, Lord God, that you will touch him with the prophetic vision in the name of Jesus. He has cried out to you and he said, "Oh Lord, which way should I go?" Lord, I release that vision now in the name of Jesus to flow into him, Lord. In the name of Jesus, just flow into him, Lord, in Jesus' name. On the nightbed, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You got it, brother. You got it. Praise and bless and glorify you, Lord God. What do you want God to do for you, Lord?
You said an impartation when you gave the call. Whatever the Lord has for me, an impartation or
whatever. Okay.
Surrender to
God. Let your spirit flow into my brother now, Lord God. Spirit flow into him now. Flow, River. Flow. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Just let flow now, River. I speak the peace of God, the joy of God, the wisdom flow into him, my Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your wisdom flow into him, Lord. Impart to him, Lord, the Spirit, Lord God. Will discern the gift of discerning the Spirit, now, Lord, that he will be able to behold the good from the evil, the bitter from the sweet, the light from the dark. Touch him, Lord, that he be deceived no more. Open his eyes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, open his eyes, Lord God. The devil has blinded his eyes, Lord. Open him now. Lift the veil off of his eyes, Lord. In Jesus' name. More Jesus. More, Lord. More. More Jesus. More of you now, Lord. More. Let it flow in, Lord. More, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for him, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, God. That's my brother now, Lord, in Jesus' name. You got it, brother. You got it.
This is my husband. I mean, you can pray for me too, but...
Okay. Lord, I thank you for Jackie now. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for, Lord. Hallelujah. That you blessed her now, Lord. That you blessed her, Lord God. I speak of impartation of wisdom and knowledge. In the name of Jesus, release the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of strength, power, and might. In the name of Jesus, that you might stand in the fear of the Lord and move forward, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. That you would give her that she can proclaim your gospel boldly, Lord. In the name of Jesus, and be not afraid of man. Thank you, Jesus. Touch her now, Lord. Let your spirit flow into her, Lord. Oh, Lord. Touch you. I release into her. Stir up the gifts within her, Lord God. Wisdom and knowledge, Lord God. The gift of the word of wisdom and knowledge, Lord. In the name of Jesus, discerning spirits, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I release the prophetic. I release the prophetic now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I release the pathetic vision for her, Lord. But I release the gift of being able to speak forth into pathetic, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, that you loosen her tongue. In the name of Jesus, that she can speak forth into pathetic, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, speaking of various tongues, the pathetic tongue, the interpretation of the tongue, and pathetic, and speaking of the pathetic with the understanding. In the name of Jesus, let flow into her, Lord. More, Lord. More. more. She can give words of knowledge in the name of Jesus. Your prophetic word, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Now give her the vision, Lord. Give her the vision. Thank you, Jesus. Now bless this couple, Lord God. I speak blessings on them. Speak blessings on them. Bless her husband, Lord, as he can cover her, Lord, that he can stand and cover and take the bunning and take the buffeting from Satan and protect this woman. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be afraid to speak out. He says, I'm going to touch you. For lo, my daughter, this day I have given thee a gift. Now go forth and step out in faith, and yea, you shall see it come to pass, and you shall see it not fall to the ground, but it will be a true word, a word from me. For the word, when it departs my mouth through you, it shall accomplish that which I have sent it forth to do, and shall not return void. So go forth and know that I am with you, and I will empower you, and I will hold you up, saith the Lord, with my strong right hand. Send Bill to Chris.
Who?
Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Burst out of all that stuff and I'm real
life. Thank you for this wonderful woman, Lord God. I thank you for this wonderful woman, this gift that you've given us, Lord God. This gift to come forth and to minister, Lord, and to mentor, and to challenge, and to lead, and to hold accountable. Lord, I thank you for this woman. As she stood, and she's been faithful. She has been faithful. I thank you for her. Now touch her now, Lord. I bind up all the infirmity spirits that would try to attack her physical body. And I speak to you and I bind you, for Jesus bore all her grief and all her sorrow. That's all her sickness and all her pain. Jesus bore it on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes she has been healed. I speak healing. I say, all pain go. All sickness go. In the name of Jesus, I speak divine health. I speak divine health to this child. I speak divine health, for Moses was 120 years old, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural vigor abated. And that she shall go forth, and she shall do your will, Lord, and she shall walk in your will, Lord God, and she shall mentor your people, Lord, and saints shall be raised up and held accountable through her ministry, Lord. And I thank you for her, and I bless her, Lord God. Praise God. Thank you for the privilege of knowing her.
Thank you,
God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
He says to you, you are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. I am pleased with you. Know that I am with you. Know that I shall meet your needs. Know that I will guide your steps. And much fruit shall come forth from your ministry. For you have followed my direction and you walk under my covering.
saith the Lord.
Thanks, God. Yes. Thanks for that covering, Lord. Thank you for your covering, oh Father.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I see Jesus. He's just holding out his robe, honey, and he's so real.
Oh, that's precious, isn't it?
He just hold it out, you know. He's got you covered with it.
Mm-hmm.
Walk under it. Stay under it. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Lord. I want Chris to pray for you. See what Chris is going to say. I see what Chris has to say about you in the pathetic. He knows nothing about your situation. Okay? I want him to pray for you. Oh, me. Here. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you for this man, Lord. Lord, I thank you for him. Thank you for him, Lord Jesus. Thank you for him, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you. Just let your spirit flow out now, Lord God. Let your spirit flow, river flow. Flow, river. Praise you, Lord. Flow, river flow. Lord, I ask that you open a ministry for my brother now. The devil has jacked him around, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to open a ministry for him. That he can stand and minister to the broken and the hurting, Lord. The helpless. Just touch him, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Lord, I just release that ministry that you have for him, Lord God, that the devil's got blocked up. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just release it to come forth, Lord. You touch my brother, Lord. You move supernaturally, Lord. By your supernatural might, Lord God, you just move through him. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Move by your power, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, thank you for my brother. Lord, I bind up all the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites that would plague my brother. In the name of Jesus, I just bind up all the fear and the rejection and the hurt. In the name of Jesus. And I just release peace into his life, Lord. Your peace that he can walk under your covering, Lord. And into that which you have for him. In the name of Jesus. God loves you. Just wanted to open up your ministry for you. Open up a ministry where you can minister. You need to be ministering to people. Mm-hmm. You know that?
Yeah, I know.
Just touch him, Lord. Open the door, Lord God. Just open the door. We stand together, Lord, and we say, open the door. He can walk through it, Lord. Just open the door. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for my brother. That's what he put on my heart for you.
Can you mentor me something by mail or something? Or can I send you a card or something? What's the
sure.
Ask you a question.
Mm, yeah. You call me on telephone.
Post card or something.
You call me on telephone. You got my cell phone number?
Yeah. I did have.
All right.
Have you got any cards?
Yeah. I'll write it down for you before I leave. Praise the Lord. How you doing, Bruce? Hey, man, you're looking good.
Hey, I just want you the best I ever had today.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. What do you want God to do for you, Bruce?
All passivity go. Ever, mind, reasoning.
Okay. Lord, I thank you for Bruce now, Lord. Thank you for Bruce, Lord. Thank you for him. Lord, I thank you for. Thank you for him, Lord. Thank you for a submitted heart, Lord God. Thank you for a submitted heart, Lord, that you would touch Bruce now. And I just, would you touch him, Lord God? Touch his heart, Lord God. Point him the way you'd have him to go, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Point him the way that you'd have him to go, Lord. Strengthen him in the inner man, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen him, Lord. Let your strength flow into him. Strengthen his heart, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, heal all the hurt, my Lord. All that rejection, all the hurt in his heart, Lord. Just heal him. All that disappointment, Lord. Well, the devil has distracted him, Lord God. And the devil has hurt him, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing and restitution in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Just touch my brother now. Touch him. More of your spirit, Lord. More of your...
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.